With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's March. It's March. As in the month of March. For every single one of our time zones in the good old US of A, it's now the month of March. And that's significant for a lot of reasons. For those of you who are buried in the world of sports, that's not even me, but you know who you are. If you're buried in the world of sports, well, on the horizon, March Madness. Oh, the madness! Let the madness begin. We are just weeks away. In fact, we're now 13 days away from Selection Sunday. In the men's NCAA tournament, they're headed to Indianapolis. For the women, good portion of the tourney will be taking place in San Antonio. Their selection show comes up the Monday after the men. So March Madness is here. Conference tournaments about to commence all over the college basketball landscape. So that's exciting. We've also got the NBA All-Star game and All-Star break. And while you may or may not be excited about it, you may be as lukewarm as LeBron when it comes to the All-Star break and the All-Star game. Would you believe it's the third highest rated event of the NBA season behind the finals and the Christmas Day slate? So when Adam Silver tells you it's a made-for-TV event, that's exactly what he's talking about. We'll see whether or not these ratings hold true for the All-Star game that comes up in Atlanta. But that is also dead ahead. And March is significant for another reason. It was this time last year that the United States had its first cases of coronavirus. It was just about this time last year, few days out yet, that the sports world started to shutter its doors and windows. I remember the euphoria of the Columbia women's basketball team reaching its first ever conference tournament, only to have the announcement by the Ivy League that the tournament would not take place, that there would be an automatic bid awarded. And actually, the NCAA tournament, March Madness, was canceled a couple days later. Indian Wells, the first of the major sports tournaments to be called off. That happened on Sunday night, just days before the NBA suspended its season. And the NHL followed suit. And baseball was sent home from spring training a couple of weeks before the season was supposed to begin. Golf postponed its schedule. NASCAR stopped racing. We are closing in on the 1 year mark of our lives changing so drastically and so dramatically. For that reason, I can't believe it's March. Has it really been a year? March. There are so many things I'm proud of in my business, which is sports, not referring to broadcasting, but to the world of sports. Certainly a lot of things that I'm proud of when it comes to our radio show. But I am thrilled. And I mean, listen to my voice. I know I'm yelling. I am thrilled. I'll eat five-year-old popcorn every day from now through the rest of this year. If it means never have to go through a spring like what we had last year. If you missed the five-year-old popcorn story, well, you'll have to get the podcast, but it is on Twitter. So quite a discovery in my cupboard this weekend. I didn't know popcorn had an expiration date, but I don't throw food away, so I'm going to try it anyway. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm so glad you're with us. Good Monday morning to you. Happy March. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. As I say, March means madness. And since we are just days away from Selection Sunday in the men's field, we needed to catch up with our resident bracketologist, Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. He joined us in the second hour of the show as he's working on moving teams around like they're trading cards. Baylor losing its first game this weekend. Duke falling in overtime to Louisville. UNC winning a key game, not just for Roy Williams, number 900 for him, but also trying to get into the tournament. What does Michigan State's weekend mean for the Spartans and Tom Izzo? And then who are the teams that are likely to end up on the top line? And what is that tournament going to look like in Indianapolis? I asked him all these questions. He's really good about offering all the information that he has. So we've cut up a bit of the interview. We're going to bring it back in 15 minutes so you can get some of your questions answered if you're part of the early morning East Coast and Central Time Zone crowd. So Jerry Palm getting a set for March Madness because it is on the horizon. That's coming up a little bit later. We've been talking about the NBA and the celebration of mediocrity. I'm joking. I kid because I care in the Eastern Conference, but it's nutso that there are seven teams in the East. That's half the freaking conference with the same number of losses. Seven teams that have 17 losses. And so even as we get toward the All-Star break, there is a whole lot of moving and shaking that they're trying to do in this last week just to maybe create some separation. I used this metaphor earlier, but for any of you who've ever gone shopping on Black Friday, for any of you who've ever attempted to go Christmas shopping at the mall 2 days before Christmas, well, you know, it can be a mad crush. Watch out for little old lady with her umbrella and her elbows. Well, that's what it's like right now in the Eastern Conference. It's thick around the middle. But also, the teams near the bottom of the Western Conference playoff standings, as well as the first few teams on the outside looking in. So your first four out. It's pretty crazy there as well. So the NBA in a critical time. In Major League Baseball, it was really cool to welcome back one Trey Mancini, Orioles first baseman, and we'll get to that before the end of this segment. But I wanted to start with a tweet from Tiger Woods himself. Not so much about his condition, not about the latest procedures he had on his leg. He's extremely private, and the information that's been released by his team to this point, that's all we'd heard. We'd only seen social media posts from his team and heard from authorities about the accident. Tiger himself, though, took to Twitter after he saw what we saw. Dozens of golfers all over the country, dozens of maintenance workers at golf courses, lots of his peers, people who understand the impact that he's made on the world of golf, all sporting red shirts. Tiger Sunday red. It was pretty neat to see. If you haven't checked out the photos, producer Dave put a bunch of them up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. The only guy, no, he's not the only guy, one of the only guys who wasn't able to wear red on Sunday in Bradenton, Florida, site of the World Golf Championship Waste Management Open. Was that the Waste Management? Forgive me if I got the wrong name. It was the WGC event in Florida. They're working their way toward the Players' Championship. But Colin Morikawa ordered his red gear from his clothing supplier, but it didn't get there in time. So he couldn't wear red because it's got to be the clothing that comes from his sponsor, his partner, his corporate partner. So what does he do instead? He rallies for a 3-stroke win over Brooks Koepka. And afterwards, didn't miss the opportunity to talk about Tiger Woods and what he means to him personally.
Tiger means everything to me. And, you know, yes, he had the crash, and thankfully he's all right, and hopefully he has a quick and great recovery. But I don't think we say thank you enough, so I want to say thank you to Tiger. Because, you know, sometimes you lose people too early, and that's like, you know, Kobe, I lost my grandpa about a month ago, and you don't get to say thank you enough, so thank you guys.
The emotional Colin Morikawa, who is only 24 years old, but said Tiger means everything to me, and he shoots a final round 69, his fourth PGA Tour title, fourth at 24. So there are some similarities between the start of his career and the start of Tiger Woods. Tiger, the only other player to own a major title and a WGC title before age 25. It's the WGC Workday Championship. Forgive me for getting the name wrong. And so as Tiger hears what Colin Morikawa is saying and sees all the other golfers who are out there weighing red, he tweets this. It is hard to explain how touching today was when I turned on the TV and saw all the red shirts. To every golfer and every fan, you are truly helping me get through this tough time. You want to know what's crazy? Earlier when, and I'm not reading this directly off Twitter, I'm reading it from another story that's posted online. But when I first looked at this story, when we started the show, his tweet had been liked roughly 338,000 times. Now, over the course of the last 4 hours, it's been liked 371,000 times. So Twitter is active. On the other side of the globe, many people are appreciating what Tiger had to say and hearing from him for the first time. I just think it's odd that it updates in a story, right? So I don't recall that I hit refresh on this website, but it did. It updated. Twitter stats live up to the minute. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. It's hard to explain how touching today was when I turned on the TV and saw all of the red shirts. To every golfer and every fan, you are truly helping me get through this tough time.
For us, it's just a gesture to let him know that we're thinking about him and we're rooting for him. And obviously, things are looking a little better today than they were on Tuesday. But he's still got a ways to go. He's got a huge recovery ahead of him. But I think just for everyone to show their appreciation of what he means to us out here.
Rory McIlroy, one of those guys who's wearing the red shirt. Tony Finau was even wearing the mock neck red shirt. So Tiger likes to sport the mock turtleneck, or it's like a half mock. And he does that with his hat on backward and with the black pants. And if you were watching TV on Sunday, they were showing you kind of side by side Finau and Tiger Woods from 2018 walking to the first tee on what was a Sunday at a golf tournament. So pretty cool to see all these guys make this gesture. And of course, the biggest theme for them is we're glad he's safe. We're glad that these are not life-threatening injuries. We're rooting for him. We'll do whatever it takes. And, hey, golf would be nothing without Tiger Woods.
If there was no Tiger Woods, there'd be, I just think the tour and the game of golf in general would be in a worse place. And, you know, he's meant a lot to us. He still does mean a lot to us. And I think that was just a little way to show that.
So Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka and Tony Finau and others. Even Phil Mickelson ended up buying a shirt locally. So he was on the Champions Tour this weekend, not with the rest of the PGA Tour in Florida. He was in Tucson, was competing in a Champions event, and he went out and bought a red shirt. So you can check those photos on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And also on, really, if you go to Twitter and check out Tiger's tweet, it's got legs. It's developing a life of its own. Probably by the time you get to it, it'll have 400,000 likes. But it's good. It's good to hear from him directly as opposed to hearing from his team. If you can tweet, that means you're making progress. And, we know, as they say, they had extra procedures over the weekend, and they're obviously monitoring what's an open wound to try to prevent against infection. But any day that we go forward and he's awake and he can watch TV and he can tweet is a good day. 855-212-4227. It's good to have you with us on what is a Monday morning, March 1st. what? How did we get here? That's rhetorical, but I'm honestly asking because, as I've said over the course of the last 12 months, I don't know if time is flying or it's crawling. Sometimes it's one or the other. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes I can barely catch my breath, and we're nearly at the 1 year mark of our lives completely changing and March Madness being one of the casualties in the sports world. But as I talked about with Jerry Palm earlier in the show, the future is bright for college hoops lovers. We're going to give you all the details that we've got. Plus, could this be the year that neither Duke nor UNC makes the field of 68? A little of the yammering with Jerry coming up next.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Back to DeJuan, wide open for three. Bang! DeJuan Harris, lightning striking twice. What huge hoops for Mr. Harris. Here comes Ochai, three on one. A lob to Mitch, deep catch. Goes up and under, and he got it to fall. Two more for Lightfoot. KU pouring it on. The Jayhawks up 11.
Well, I think, first of all, anyone that's had COVID would know that when you come back, you're probably not 100%. So that would probably entail people that had COVID. The people that didn't, that weren't able to practice or work out, then I would think that's rust and other areas of that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Baylor Bears ran into a buzzsaw at Fog Allen Fieldhouse against Kansas. And as you hear with Brian Haney on the Learfield IMG College Network, they lose their first game of the season, and it comes in Big 12 play. Then Baylor head coach Scott Drew talking about the return to hoops full bore after what was 3 weeks away, whether it was the players who had COVID, whether it was the guys who weren't able to practice and run full court, you lose that basketball shape, those sea legs, pretty quickly. And he said that the COVID protocols were their kryptonite. It's not a unique situation. A lot of different teams around college basketball are dealing with these same challenges, but here we are just weeks away from college basketball. So how will the NCAA tournament handle the uncertainties and the potential of teams not being able to pass through protocols? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Earlier had the chance to talk to Jerry Palm, who puts the brackets together. They're updated more than once a week, so check them out on cbssports.com. And also, he's been part of this process for picking not just the teams for the field in general, but also trying to figure out how it's going to work in Indianapolis. He's been privy to the information, so it was great to talk to him and ask him exactly that. I started out with how nutsy it is to think that it's almost a year since March Madness was shut down in 2020. So, Jerry, what do we know about the upcoming NCAA tournament?
Yeah, so it's going to be played almost entirely in Indianapolis. There's going to be the first four and a couple of first round games each at Mackey Arena, where Purdue plays, about an hour north, and at Assembly Hall in Bloomington, where Indiana plays, and that's about an hour south. But everything else is going to be at four venues in Indianapolis. And it's going to be as controlled of an environment as they can manage with 68 teams. Each team is going to have their own floor of a hotel. Each member of their traveling party, up to 34 people, will have their own room, so that we don't have roommate situations. And then there's, pretty stringent NCAA testing protocols. Every team, every member of the traveling party, has got to have 7 consecutive clean days of tests before they come to Indianapolis for the tournament, which, if your conference tournament is this coming week, you've got plenty of time to do that. But how's the Big Ten, who's actually having their tournament in Indianapolis, they're going to have to start the NCAA testing protocols around the time their tournament starts in order for them to be ready to go to the NCAA tournament part of Indianapolis when that time rolls around. So that's why the tournament's starting a couple of days later this year. It's going to start on Thursday instead of Tuesday to get make sure everybody can get the testing done. And then, they're going to isolate as much as they can. It's not a true bubble because, you're not playing games in your hotel or something attached to your hotel. But, they're keeping the teams as isolated as they can. And, of course, you get 68 teams down there, And then, you know, once you lose, you go home. So the number of people that they're dealing with is getting halved every couple of days. But I think it's the best setup they could come up with to try to deal with all this and get this tournament played. And hopefully, you know, without any teams having to drop out, but realistic, that doesn't seem realistic, you know, with the way the season has gone, for the committee to be able to announce a 68-team bracket with the 68 teams they believe belong in it, and nobody having to opt out before then, and then to get all 67 games played without a single problem just doesn't seem to be realistic with what has gone on with the rest of college basketball, but they're going to give it a shot.
What type of stipulations or caveats is the NCAA building in case there is a team that doesn't go through seven straight days or ends up with a player or a member of its traveling party testing positive?
Yeah, so if a team has to drop out before the bracket's announced, then they just don't consider them. If it's an automatic qualifier, then the conference replaces them. Otherwise, if it's a potential at-large team, they just leave them out. Once the bracket's announced, they've got 48 hours. There's a 48-hour window where if a team can't pass the testing protocols and they have to drop out of the bracket, then one of the teams that is the first four out that would normally be the number one seeds in the NIT will replace that team in that team spot in the bracket. They're not going to re-bracket. They're not going to shift everybody up and down because by then, teams are scouting and, you know, practicing and preparing for a specific opponent. So you can't shift everybody in the bracket to fill a spot. They're just going to fill the one team spot, and then only that team and the team they're supposed to play are stuck with preparation issues. But and they've got four fill-in teams. And after that, they're just leaving a hole in the bracket. And after 48 hours, if somebody drops out, they're just leaving a hole in the bracket and going on.
Wow.
So, you know, if there's a hole, then they just, whoever they were supposed to play at the bye to the next round.
Jerry Palm is with us from CBS Sports and is trying to keep track of everything as it happens. And this includes all of the various unexpected cancellations, postponements. Here we come on conference tournaments. So we'll see how that plays out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. College football managed to get through the season relatively unscathed. There was a lot of regular season action that was canceled, but a champion was crowned. It was on time. A lot of conferences also had championship games. How would you compare the way that college basketball has navigated everything thrown at it compared to college football?
Yeah, I mean, it's been about the same, really. There have been pockets of problems. Some conferences have had more games postponed than others. But we're going to get to these conference tournaments, and at least all of them that are, you know, the Ivy League sat out the entire season, but the other 31 conferences are ready to go with their conference tournaments. And, you know, we'll see if we can get 31 conference champions crowned in an NCAA tournament played. And there's reason for optimism because football was able to pull it off. And the NCAA learned a lot and had a 2-month advantage. You know, football starts around Labor Day in terms of the games and stuff, and basketball didn't start until November, and they put it off a few weeks to the end of November. So the NCAA had a chance to learn from what college football was doing and was able to apply a lot of things and change some things to hopefully correct or deal with the issues college football had during the regular season. And it's been pretty good, far from perfect, but pretty good. And then we'll see if we can get to the finish line now.
What are the plans for fans in attendance at the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, they just announced this last week. They're going to have 25% capacity in the facilities. Everybody that's involved in playing the game, the players, the coaches, the traveling parties, the referees, and all of that, count toward that 25%. That's not going to be a huge number, but still. So in a place like Mack Arena, which is 14,000, you know, 25% of that is about 3,500. And so, yeah, you might have a few thousand fans in Mackey Arena for the first four and the first round games that get played there. So, you know, the Hinkle Fieldhouse is only about 10,000 or so where Butler plays to Lucas Oil, you know, which is enormous. So, you know, 25% is going to depend on the building you're in, but it'll be nice to have fans in those facilities and and make some noise, you know, because it doesn't take an entirely full arena for the crowd to be felt.
And they can make some noise, definitely can create some atmosphere, which is really missing. Jerry Palm is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Chair, this almost sounds sacrilegious to say in a conversation about college hoops, but what are the chances that neither Duke nor North Carolina make the tournament?
Well, they're both playing better to try and get in. And we're not even talking about Kentucky because they're that far gone. But, you know, Carolina is just past the last four teams in my bracket. So they're in, but they're about the fifth or sixth last team in. Duke is among the first four out, and they've been playing better. They'd won four in a row until they lost in overtime to Louisville over the weekend. And if they'd won that game, they would be in the bracket for now, too. So they're both making a push to try and get into the field. And Michigan State as well, who lost to Maryland on Sunday, but had beaten Ohio State and Illinois the week before. So the three names that we didn't think we'd be talking about, you know, 2 weeks ago are all trying to push their way in. And we'll see if they can finish the job. And, you know, now that at least two of them are in, you know, now you have to stay there because it's not over yet.
Jerry Palm, CBS Sports. You can check out the Bracketology bub. That's what they call it. It's weird. The Bracketology bub that's on CBSSports.com, but it gives you the up-to-date seeds and lines and matchups. And how weird would it be if Duke ends up in the Force 4 out group, and we're talking about the Blue Devils missing the tournament only to have a team not pass through protocols, and Duke catapults to, say, a 13 seed? Just be weird. But it's good that the NCAA has a plan. You got to have a plan, Stan, and they definitely do. As for North Carolina, looks like the Tar Heels are playing their way in. And in front of fans for the first time all season, Roy Williams celebrates win number 900 in his long and storied career. So a big weekend in college basketball and still work to be done before the selection show, which comes up now in 13 days. Because it's March 1st. What? All right, straight ahead, one of the best stories of spring training, and we've only just begun. And Albert Pujols doesn't really want to speak about his future, nor does Drew Brees, weirdly enough, and yet there's Instagram video. Can Drew just let us in on the little secret, please?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Infielders are back. Second baseman Solak almost behind second. Albert swings at this one, drills a ball deep into left field. It's out by the wall, and that one is out of here. Albert with a line drive home run right there. Number five of the season. That's an add-on run, and the Angels have a 2-0 lead.
Wow. Congratulations, Albert Pujols. He now moves into fifth place on the all-time home run list all by himself. Number 661 right there for Albert.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
21 seasons, 662 home runs, which makes him fifth all-time, as you hear with Terry Smith and Mark Langston on the Angels Radio Network. That was September of last year. And he's also third in terms of career RBI. So Albert Pujols, he is a Hall of Famer, no doubt. He's headed to Cooperstown the second he is eligible. And he's been such a great ambassador for Major League Baseball. I would hate to see him retire, but here's what I don't want to see. If this is his last year, I don't want to see the Angels fizzle out again in August or September. Six consecutive seasons with no playoffs, five straight losing seasons. Now, last year, you can make of it what you will. Joe Maddon now entrenched as the manager, but last year, so atypical for everybody. Just can't imagine never seeing him on the playoff stage again. And for heaven's sakes, when was the last time you remember seeing Mike Trout bat in a postseason game? So the Angels are due. We do not know his retirement plans. What are he and Drew Brees borrowing from the same PR agency? Why does everyone got to keep it a secret? Anyway, Albert Pujols, he said last Monday, he was taking a nap or something like that, and he woke up. His phone had completely blown up, several hundred messages and phone calls because of a post his wife had put on Instagram, his wife Deirdre. It wasn't explicit about his retiring after this season, but it made it seem like, if you read between the lines, those of you who know how to do that professionally, if you read between the lines, it certainly sounded like she was saying that this was his swan song. Now, the other piece of that is that he's finishing out his 10-year contract, and so he will, at the very least, be done with this particular deal. Is there a team? Maybe it's the Angels, maybe it's another team that's willing to give him a contract. He's had a lot of injury plague stretches. He's not the same guy as he was when he was, you know, in the heyday when he was helping St. Louis to win a pair of World Series. It doesn't take away from what he's done. Nothing possibly can. But would there even be another team out there willing to bring him on board? And does he want to start over somewhere else if it's not with the Angels? None of those questions was he answering when he met with the media for spring training, but he certainly sounds like he's raring to go, and he's excited, enthusiastic, even energetic about this season that's in front of him.
Good positive energy, starting from the top all the way bottom, new coaches, new faces, and, you know, we only been here for a week that we start camp, and we already feel like family and just great communication, and I think, you know, to accomplish what we want, which is winning a championship ball club, you know, you have to have the trust, you have to have the communication, you have to have the veteran leadership, the young players, and you know, feel welcome. And I think that's what we're seeing over the last week or so here. And it's pretty exciting. It's going to be hopefully an exciting season. We have a really good ball club, a really good mix of veteran players, young players, key pieces, you know, that were missing in this organization that were added into. And I'm really excited, you know, for 2021.
He also goes on to say that the people who followed his career for 21 years, plus his family and friends, deserve better than an Instagram post to indicate that he's retiring. Hear, hear. Though that is how the young kids do it these days. But at 41 years old, maybe he's got a different way of communicating. I can imagine that he's still wrestling with the decision. As I said, there's no guarantee there will be a contract waiting for him. But also, he may decide he doesn't want to put his body through another full season, 162 games like what he's staring at right now. But who knows? Who knows if some of these particular milestones or maybe records that he's chasing, he's so close, he's on the cusp, and there is a team out there who's willing to bring him on board just so he can potentially match some of these records that are right there dangling like a carrot in front of him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Always our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. I appreciate all of your popcorn tweets and also your tweets about the food you found in your cupboard that is supremely outdated. So if you missed it earlier, I didn't even know microwave popcorn had a Best Buy date, but I found a solo package of kettle corn in the back of my cupboard on Saturday that said Best Buy November 2016. That was so, so, so pre-pandemic. I might eat it just for that reason. Anyway, I hate to waste food. I hate to waste anything. I'm the person who cuts into your hand cream bottles or cuts the shampoo in half so that I can make sure I get all of the stuff out of the bottom. I don't like to waste it if I purchased it. And I can't imagine popcorn goes bad, right? So I'm going to try it at some point this week and I'll report back. But I, of all the things I tweeted over the weekend or whatever else I shared with you, this was the one that got you all lit up. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also, you can vote for our Man Crush Monday, which features four players from the NBA. So Luka Doncic turned 22 on Sunday. And speaking of records and milestones, he's already got his fair share of those with many more to come. Jason Tatum with a couple of game winners for the Celtics. They got back-to-back victories logged for the first time in over a month. The reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, with a big performance, 36 points, 14 rebounds in what was a tight battle and a victory over the Clippers. And now you've got the Bucks closing in on that territory that's been inhabited by the top two, Philadelphia and Brooklyn, for the better part of the first half of the season. And Devin Booker, a season-high 43 points for him as the Suns were able to come back in the third quarter and get a victory on the road in Minnesota. So check out those options. Many of you send your write-in votes, and that's cool too. Just use the hashtag ManCrushMonday on Facebook as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, as I was mentioning Drew Brees, we'll get back to baseball because we're going to finish with the best story of spring training, even though it's barely a week and a half old. But to get back to retirement questions and Drew Brees, we all know he's retiring, right? And yes, I'm being tongue-in-cheek because we've not heard a peep from Drew or his camp with the R word. Now, we know he was in California last week. The beginning of the week, he was supposed to play golf with Justin Herbert and Tiger Woods. Remember, that was part of the video series that Tiger was taping. He didn't get there, of course, because of the accident. But Drew is in California. He's working out in California. And his trainer, Todd Durkin, shared a video on Sunday. Now, it's on Instagram. You won't be able to really get the full extent or the full brunt of it, the full frontal, if you will, of Drew's workout, unless you go and check it out. We retweeted it on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. So you need to go and you need to check it out. Again, After Hours CBS. Because Brees is going through one of his maniacal workouts. Why does it matter to you? Well, he doesn't look like he's headed for fat and happy as he hangs up his cleats. And Durkin's his trainer. So why is Durkin posting a video and commenting on how hard Drew is working out if he's just about to retire?
He wants to go to the mountains.
I don't know where he's going. Let's go. Time is on. Go. Where are we going, Maui? Come on, Tim. To the black and back, Drew. To the black.
He's pushing a sled.
The black, Drew. Drew, to the black. Drew. What is he doing? Drew! What is he doing?
Come back!
He's sent to the street!
Drew! What are you doing? Okay, he's never done that. Let's go! Hurry up! Don't know what he's doing. DB, come on! What? Oh my god. I'm not sure what he's doing. Never quite been done before. He needed a challenge. I said black and back!
He needed a challenge, he said.
Time! That's a new record because it's never been done before. That is 50.53.
All right, so it cuts off there, but the idea is, and you can hear the metal sled that Drew is pushing. He goes down this hill, and he goes past the black, which is where he's supposed to turn around, where they typically do this from and time him. He goes into the street. You can hear these hear and see the cars that are driving by. And then he turns around, and he pushes that puppy back up the hill, and Durkin's kind of going, what are you doing? And there are other people there that are working out with Durkin. There was another quarterback there. I cannot remember exactly who it was. Was it Chase Daniel, maybe, who was also there? And so if you see the video, you can kind of see that Drew's got that look in his eye. He does look at the phone where Durkin's taping. And Durkin comments on the Instagram video, he's cray-cray today. Something must be brewing. Now, they could totally be playing with us. It's been 6 weeks since the season ended, since the Saints were unceremoniously ousted yet again from the playoffs, and 4 years of disappointment. He's already restructured his contract. He wouldn't make much more than $1 million in 21, and yet he's not made that announcement. So either they're waiting for something specific, maybe an anniversary, a date, an event, or maybe he's just not sure, or maybe he's not retiring. But the longer it goes, the longer we don't hear Drew Brees let us in on his little secret, the more I'm convinced that he is not going to retire. He doesn't need the money. Maybe he really doesn't want to go out the way that he did. I mean, isn't that what Ben Roethlisberger's agent told us? He does not want to go out the way that last season ended for him. And I can understand it. Drew is 42. But he already did the restructuring the way that Roethlisberger has to in Pittsburgh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Promised best story of spring training, and we're barely scratching the surface with the boys of summer in both Florida and Arizona. But welcome back to Trey Mancini. The Orioles first baseman sees his first spring at bat, and just after, he gets a standing ovation from both dugouts as well as the fans on hand. The umpire takes a little extra time brushing off the plate so that Mancini can soak it all in. What does he do? Well, he singles to center. And as you can understand, after not playing all of 2020, he was very emotional as he marks his return to the plate.
But it was amazing. I almost teared up a little bit, I'm not going to lie, when I was up there. And, everybody gave me a standing ovation. And, I saw the guys on the field clapping on the Pirates and in their dugout. And of course, our team and all our fans. And it meant the world to me. So, it was a really, really cool moment and one of my favorite moments of my baseball career. And I think it was a huge day for me personally, getting back in a game. And just another kind of milestone that I can check off here.
Trey Mancini turns 29 years old in just a couple of weeks. So down the road in March before they even break spring training. He's already survived stage 3 colon cancer. I know a lot of you Orioles fans said, we need to see more of Trey Mancini in 2021. So he had a stellar 2019, 35 homers, nearly 100 RBI. And it looked like that was just the start for Trey. Instead, he found out right after they started spring training a year ago that he needed to have surgery for colon cancer. All of baseball shut down, but he never did get back to the Orioles to be able to play. And so to have not just the ovation and the recognition, but the sunshine and the hit, and it happens nearly a year to the day of him getting the news that he had something bigger, a bigger fight and a bigger challenge facing him. So welcome back to Trey Mancini. Yes, it was absolutely amazing to see him back out there on the field with the Orioles. It'll be a fun story to watch in 2021, but he's already won the greatest battle, right? And what a birthday celebration that will be in a few weeks. The Orioles better do it up big. All right, one show in the books. It's March. Guys, it's March. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.